This is 89.9 WWNN. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a concert with an internationally acclaimed violinist, a journey to the New Orleans Museum of Art, or a dance tribute to a rock icon, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Internationally acclaimed violinist Nadja Salerno-Sonnenberg performs in concert this week with the Loyola Chamber Orchestra. The violin virtuoso is Loyola's first resident artist in music. She joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
We are so lucky to have your continued presence in New Orleans. You're in your second year as resident artist in music at Loyola. How's it going?
Well, I'll tell you, it's going so well that I will be here permanently as of next year.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Moving to New Orleans.
Let's talk more about the program's success.
I came in originally to work with the chamber orchestra, which is all strings, and teach them about playing without a conductor, which means they have to listen, they have to focus more. There's nobody to rely on or to lean on. It has been so successful. We've given already many, many, many concerts. It's just phenomenal, the growth of these young students in such a short period of time. I mean, really within like an hour and 15-minute rehearsal, what they can learn and how they can play after that period of time that even surprises themselves.
Tell us a little bit more about the concept of the conductorless ensemble, and how exactly does it help students progress?
I sit in the concertmaster chair, and I lead them. Clearly, and I teach them during the rehearsals. But there is no conductor. So it would be as if you are perhaps at a four-way stop in the street and the light is broken. So you then have to be more focused and take more responsibility for when do you go. You have to notice everybody else around you, right?
Yeah.
So that's what they have to do, is that they have to take more responsibility. There is not the person up there beating time. They have to feel the time. They have to be able to hear every other section so that we can play together. The difference is the training in the ear of these young musicians. It's absolutely immeasurable what they learn because they're forced to.
Now, you've come full circle with a solo career that has taken you around the world. You've served as music director at San Francisco's New Century Chamber Orchestra and now giving back to these aspiring musicians here in New Orleans. Tell me, what do you pull on from your background that helps you to connect with these young musicians?
I have to tell you that a lot of it is just my personality and my, I mean, I've noticed my personality and my commitment and my imagination. It takes, I think, really three very strong elements to be a great teacher. One, that you have to have the knowledge. You have to know what you're talking about and, you know, experience and all that. Two is that you must have the commitment to want to do this work and see the big picture of this work. And three is that you have to inspire. And that is the tough one. It's hard to find the combination, you know, of the three. So between all the experience, because, you know, I'm quite old, between all the experience that I have garnered in my life.
It's all relative.
Especially my work the last 10 years with New Century Chamber Orchestra, which is also a conductorless ensemble. I'm full of information and full of experience, and I have a very large personality. And I'm very committed to this because I find this to be extremely gratifying, more than anything I've done in my career. And maybe it's just a timing thing. It's a beautiful arc at this point in my career to just give back. I've got to get rid of this information.
So tell us about the program. What will you play, and how did you go about choosing the works?
Well, the theme for Loyola this year is the creative American spirit. So I chose an American program. It's not as easy to do with a chamber orchestra, with a string orchestra, because the repertoire is very, very, very limited for string orchestra. I mean, you can think of a big symphonic orchestra, you could put together 10 programs easily. But for strings, it's very, very different. So I chose a very eclectic program, I always do, a very, very varied program. For example, we're doing Psycho Suite from the movie Psycho.
Oh.
And none of the kids had seen it. It's really incredible. That's Bernard Herrmann's score, movie score for Psycho. We're doing a rag by Bill Bolcom, Pulitzer Prize-winning American composer, who took the form of ragtime and made it symphonic. We're doing Mark O'Connor's Song of the Liberty Bell. It's beautifully patriotic. I may be doing a little solo on my own. I'm not sure. I'm toying with the idea of playing something American by myself. We're doing Copland Hoedown, something that everybody loves. We're having a good time putting it together.
It sounds like you are. What are your hopes for the future of the residency program?
We have to build, not only at Loyola, but in New Orleans, in southern Louisiana, a stronger, more sustainable string program. There are lots of things that needed to be worked on in many ways. You know, even jazz programs in the city, which you wouldn't think. I mean, what thrives here is the bands, marching bands. You know, it's phenomenal programs. Mm-hmm. But not a lot of schools offer jazz training. Not a lot of schools offer string training. And in succession. So if you have it in elementary school, you should be able to continue with that.
You are giving so much to these music students. This is an incredible opportunity. But in the same vein, what are you receiving from them?
I receive the gratification of changing their lives, seeing them play and accomplish what they didn't think they could. I leave with a feeling of purpose, much more so than any concert I've ever given. That makes me happy.
Violinist Nadja Salerno-Sonnenberg, thanks for stopping by.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Nadja Salerno-Sonnenberg performs with the Loyola Chamber Orchestra Saturday evening at 7:30 in Loyola University's Roussel Hall. Across town, there's a new exhibit at the New Orleans Museum of Art that complements traditional Japanese art with the contemporary work of New Orleans painter Regina Scully. Eileen Fleming talks with NOMA's Lisa Rotondo McCord and the artist herself about the unexpected connection of styles.
We're up on the third floor at NOMA, and we are with
Lisa Rotondo McCord. I'm the Deputy Director for Curatorial Affairs and also the Curator of Asian Art.
And you are?
I'm Regina Scully.
And this is your show?
Yes, I'm the artist.
Okay. Lisa, tell me how this show got going.
So about 18 months ago, 2 years ago, we did an exhibition called Visions of Us, which was an exploration of our American art collection here at NOMA. And Regina was one of the artists who was asked to give what we call an artist's perspective. We ask local artists to come and show a little bit about their work and also to respond to works in the show. And so I attended Regina's artist perspective, but I was just struck during the lecture at how much her landscapes and the way she talked about landscapes paralleled Japanese 19th century painting, and particularly landscape painting. I asked her if she had looked a lot at Japanese painting or maybe their Chinese antecedents, you know, look for inspiration or for parallels. And she said, well, you know, I know a little bit about it, but I've never really had the opportunity to look closely at those paintings. And so I just asked her if she would like the opportunity. I said, if you'd like. I said, we have about 300 paintings in our collection, and maybe it would be interesting to come and look and talk about the paintings. So over the course of about the last year, we've been meeting periodically, and we have looked at paintings in our collection, talked about the artists and the brushwork and what they were trying to convey. And then, of course, Regina's been creating her own work during that time.
So tell me about your work.
Well, it was really exciting to look closely at the Japanese work because, as Lisa said, people had mentioned a connection, people had seen a connection, but it was not something I'd ever really delved into or explored or researched. It was really exciting, and it just fit right with my work. There's a similar, this desire to escape in the painting and travel through it and leave your daily life and be able to go into the painting. And the Japanese painters were doing this, and that's what I've been trying to do. I would look at this, at the Japanese paintings, and let it just seep in. It wasn't a forced thing in any way. I would come, and it was incredible to look at them so closely and see the detail and sketch and photograph them and absorb them all day, go to the studio, and then just let them come through, and whatever came through A lot of the dotting, a lot of the detail, a lot of the brushwork that I got to examine, I let that come in, and it fit with my work. I was surprised at how well it fit and how I wanted to just let these things absorb into, and they worked right in with what I was already doing.
Let's take a look at one. You pick.
I started this with a lot of, with just the black. I felt a freedom to use black. In art school and sometimes in school, you're not allowed to use black.
Well, the bright color is not something that I see in Japanese art, or just, am I looking at the wrong art?
It wasn't to emulate the paintings in the collection, but it was really to have a conversation, sort of across time and across place. It's never been about replicating or copying sections, but it's really just been about that conversation.
A lot of these are verticals, and I've always, before, previously, thought more of a landscape as a horizontal. But in the Japanese landscapes, you can travel up and down and across, and so that sort of became something I looked into more and incorporated more into my work.
How long were you looking at the NoMa collection?
About a year, I would say. Yeah.
And when did you do this piece?
Which is
called Mindscape 2017, so this year.
Yeah, just finished this.
The show itself is presented in a very deliberate kind of way. So there are Japanese paintings that you encounter in sort of discrete moments, and those paintings are paintings, for the most part, that we looked at together. We talked about, they sparked conversation. Then there's Regina's, some of her earliest work when she was an art student at the Rhode Island School of Design.
Let's take a look at some of your early work. Is this fun for you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, it's been incredible as we installed it. I mean, I already saw the connections as I was looking at the work, but then when we started putting them together, the conversations that were happening were just really exciting. I mean, they really do speak to each other.
And tell me about this.
This is called Origin of Dreams. It's been this is a very in-depth painting. I've been working on it for about 2 years, and this was the perfect place for it to finally come together, because it's especially filled with labyrinths of journeys and experiences and pathways that you can travel through.
What paths do people take?
Well, I'm always excited by hearing what path people take, because I don't tell people what path to take. I want them to go into the painting and they see things that I haven't seen. They find ways to go that I haven't necessarily noticed, and I find that fascinating because it gives them an entrance to make it their own experience.
What's the next thing to explore?
I want to continue, honestly, with what I've been doing here. I really do.
Is there a trip to Japan in the works?
I hope so. Yes. Yes. Definitely.
A residency program is definitely.
A residency, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Regina, thank you so much.
Thank you, Eileen.
And Lisa, thank you.
Thank you.
The Regina Scully Japanese Painting Inner Journeys exhibit runs through October 8th. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. We are so lucky to live in Metro New Orleans, where our unique culture and art thrive. Be it a gallery opening, a night at the opera, symphony, ballet, an evening of jazz, or a dramatic stage performance, musical, spoken word, oh, there's so much more. Art lives. How has art shaped, changed, or mirrored your life experience? Maybe you are an aspiring young artist. Perhaps it was a post-Katrina moment when you found art to be a healing balm. Or maybe the arts are putting a wind in your sails as you navigate the second half of life. I'd love to hear about your arts experience. Drop me a line, diane@wwno.org. Tell me a short story that we can share on Inside the Arts. That's Diane, D-I-A-N-E, at wwno.org. I can't wait to hear from you. A celebrated tribute to rock icon David Bowie headlines the return performance of a world-renowned dance troupe as the New Orleans Ballet Association welcomes back Complexions Contemporary Ballet. The ensemble of 14 dancers is led by former Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater virtuosos, choreographer Dwight Roden, and dancer Desmond Richardson. Dwight Roden joins us by phone. Hello.
Hello. Good to be here.
Your troupe is known for pushing the envelope with daredevil dancing, described by some as ballet with attitude. What is the attitude you are embracing?
I guess that attitude is the energy and the fact that it's contemporary ballet, and if not what you would see in a traditional performance of ballet, but hopefully it takes the art form to another level and pushes the form and the boundaries of that form just a bit. And I also think it's about the personalities that you see on stage. Desmond and I really are very, very particular about picking people who are definitely individuals to join the company and who have their own personas themselves, their own points of view. So I think maybe that's what the attitude, quote unquote, means.
What role does diversity play in your ensemble and in your program?
Complexions is all about embracing differences. It's really about celebrating those differences. It's about bringing all these things under one roof that are contrasting in look, feel, origin, and that's from music to body types to certainly race and ethnicities. But it really looks at that idea of all of those seemingly different things working in a harmonious way under one roof, on the stage, in front of our audiences. So we really kind of send that message of unity no matter what we're doing.
Now, as Complexions returns to New Orleans, I understand that this will also be a homecoming for one of your dancers.
Yes, Andrew Brader. He joined the company, I think, 3 years ago now. And he is a New Orleans, or I should say New Orleans, native. And I think he did perform one other time there with us. But yeah, this is a homecoming for him. Yeah, I'm sure he's looking forward to it, and we're looking forward to having him down there in his old stomping ground.
Yeah, it's great to have everybody back. What are you exploring in your upcoming performance?
We actually start the program with a neoclassical contemporary ballet work called Ballet Unto. The score is Bach. It's really an exploration of love between seven couples, sort of in a big ballet format. In our second act, we are bringing a bunch of smaller pieces. We're doing a trio called Gone for three men, to Odetta singing Another Man Done Gone. It's an old piece. It's a trio for three guys. We're also doing a duet, which is kind of one of my classic works, Testament to Amazing Grace. Desmond Richardson, the co-director, is performing one of his solos called Imprint Maya, which is choreographed to the words of two different poems by Maya Angelou, set to an original score by David Rosenblatt, and then we're bringing a classic duet, Ave Maria. Which is one of my oldest works, and these are all small works. Then our act three is our tribute to David Bowie. It's called Stardust. This work is really a celebration of David and his legacy and all the beautiful music, wild music, I should say, that he made.
Tell us more about how you honor him with this performance.
There was no one quite like him. He was so original. He had so many different colors to his personality, and he had these revolving personas. As everyone says, he was such a chameleon. So what I tried to do is I tried to take music from various parts of his catalog and construct a work that touched on different eras of his music. A lot of popular tunes you'll recognize in the score, but it's really almost like a love letter to him in terms of his work as a creative person. I mean, I was a big, big David Bowie fan. So this work itself just takes and celebrates that beauty of what he brought to us, and ever-changing, and you know, you just never knew where he was going to go next.
Now, you call this work Stardust. What is it in reference to?
Well, I use it as two words, star and dust. In many ways, David Bowie was really very much ahead of his time, and I felt like the remnants of his stardom left us in the dust sometimes just because he was so ahead of his time. And the beauty of his work, and I want to say also the impact of his work, I think has really influenced so many different genres of music, not only rock and roll and pop and punk and all the different areas that he dabbled in. In the music itself, you'll see so many people being influenced by him and his large personality. So I think Stardust is, you know, it certainly also relates back to one of his biggest times with Ziggy Stardust, but it really is more about him as a star himself, and it's just sort of a little bit of a play on words there.
Mm-hmm.
The dancers are quite dolled up in some typical Bowie influence makeup and looks, and certainly in the costumes. But my message in this work itself is that David Bowie was all of us, and all of us are David Bowie. There are like 7 Bowie characters within this work, and they all take a stab at personifying each song. It's kind of put together in a rock opera style.
Mm-hmm.
Bowie will live on.
Beautiful.
It's a feel-good piece.
Yeah.
Feel good. Yeah.
Complexions Contemporary Ballet, founding artistic director and choreographer Dwight Roden. Enjoy your stay in New Orleans.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
The New Orleans Ballet Association presents the return of Complexions Contemporary Ballet Saturday evening at 8 at the Mahalia Jackson Theater for the Performing Arts. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at wwno.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.